Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
What a fantastic morning. It's just good to come into the presence of God and hear him speak so clearly to us. To just hear that he loves us and he's got a passion for each one of us. Let's turn to Acts 1. If you've got your Bible, open it there. We're going to read the first 14 verses. And I'm just going to let God's word speak to you. And then I'll draw a few points that God spoke to me about, and we'll take it from there. So, Acts 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room they were staying in. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we're just beginning our short series on Empowered by the Spirit. Really, we'd had this planned for a little while, but Miriam brought a word about a couple of months ago about sitting down in a chair and about the priority of taking time with God. And so today I'm going to talk about waiting on God, but it really comes back to something that God has been talking to us throughout the last couple of months, just dropping in the theme of waiting on him and seeking time with him. Last week, Damien brought a prophetic word. I almost thought, perhaps I should be speaking this week rather than sort of talking today. But he said, said that it's time to put the brakes on and wait for God. And for some other people, It's time for them to rise up and wake up. And that really sort of hit home. Again, it's just part of this theme that God has been bringing through the last couple of months. We live in a world that's extremely busy. It's, you know, particularly here in the UK, but sort of America has it. Even places like Australia, sort of that you'd have typically thought was more laid back, or Africa, you know, again, the manana attitude of we'll get to it tomorrow. All these places are getting busier and busier. And our culture seems to be taking on this thing of the more I do, the more I work, the more I'll get done. And for Christians, that equates to, well, the more I get done, the more I can do for God. But God's saying here, it's time to slow down. It's time to focus on him. And I used to, I'm not proud of this fact, but I used to work before Andrea, before I met Andrea, I used to work some incredibly long hours. So I would work 80 plus hours in a week. And just to, so you can get an idea of this, if you do 6 hours a day, 6 days of 12-hour days, you get to 72 hours. So basically, you're doing more than 6 days, and you've got to basically work all 7 days. So I did that, and I got through a week of doing that, and I went on to a second week and a third week. But my productivity, what I actually achieved during a day, went through the floor, basically. Because although I was filling my time and working all these hours, actually, I wasn't getting a huge amount done. And it's, you know, we're in a society where we see these people like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, and you think, wow, aren't they fantastic? You know, they've gone and built up these mega companies. You know, they've got these sort of things, and they must be working all sorts of hours to do that. And sort of we get sucked in to this culture of, well, we must be doing the same. We need to work as hard. We need to work every hour that God sends us. And just want to say, the thing is, we aren't here to be affected by culture. We should be the ones who affect the culture. We should be the ones who are defining what it's like to be in God's kingdom, what it's like to actually slow down and take time. That, you know, probably Elon Musk and Bill Gates, the way they get by is by delegating, and that they do take time to recuperate, to relax. For us, it's about taking time with God. We need to be seeing God's kingdom expressed out there in the world. We need to go from a culture that says, it's all about me, I need to achieve this, I need to get the money to do all of these things, to actually, it's not about me, it's about the community that I live in. And, you know, you hear all sorts of echoes going on in our society about these things, but it's God's kingdom invading the kingdom of the world. You know, it comes back to Daniel's prophecy of that mountain just growing and growing and growing, that, you know, this rock that smashed the mountain, rather, and it just grew. And it's about God's kingdom coming, his rule, his authority. Ben spoke last week, fantastic preach, about what it means to have a purpose and what's our mission? And it just, every now and then I have to remind myself, I work in Manchester, but actually I was called to come here. And my business, my real heart is for Blackpool. It's for the surrounding area. It's for the Wyre. Because this is where God's called me. And every now and then I ask myself, am I still doing right by going and working in Manchester? Do I need to reconsider where I'm working so that I can impact God's kingdom in the way he's called me to do it? Now, that's always a fine balance because I'm meeting lots of people on the train. I'm meeting people in Manchester. I'm still able to impact God's kingdom where I am. And it's like Ben said, you know, it's about living a godly life. That's how we bring about the change of God's kingdom. But how we do that is still important. It's still important that we slow down and seek God over our decisions and just ask them again and again and just wait on him. It's very countercultural to pause, to slow down, to wait. I think it's coming out a bit in psychology these days about how they call it mindfulness, but it's about being present in the moment and how this benefits people. Well, surprise, surprise, you know, it's really what God's calling us to. So it's part of God's kingdom. So it does work. But it's something to do, to be present with God, to turn off the phone, to sit down and sort of focus on God. It's why there's the chair on the background there, yeah? And it's about that word that Miriam brought, about having that specified spot to just focus. That chair is important. It's important to Miriam, but it represents something to us. Just want to say some of us have actually been forced to slow down. And you might all think immediately, jump to, oh, he's talking about Ben here, because Ben sort of got ME and has been forced to slow down. But actually, there are lots of us in this church that have been forced to slow down, that we can't do what we used to do. You know, I think about Isaac and his anxiety. You know, it's one of those things that slows you down. We can very easily get into, I wish I didn't have this. I wish I didn't get slowed down. I can do so much more. I can do so much more for you, God, if only you let me go at my pace. Actually, that resentment is a wrong thing. That there is a time for slowing down. And that it's all about our look onto these things as to how we should see, you know, slowing down isn't bad, isn't wrong. The culture around us might say it's wrong, but actually there needs to be a time and a place where we just take our time with God. It's only a waste of time if we view our role, our things that we're doing, as our goal. Actually, our goal is a relationship with God, and we need to spend time with God developing a relationship with him. And that means dedicated, present time in his presence. I was thinking about, you know, I can very easily prepare for speaking to you. Don't worry, it's fine down there. So that. I can very easily prepare for speaking to you. I can spend time looking at my Bible, and I can sort of, you know, I was given the verses to give to you, and I can sort of say, right, okay, this is what the church needs to hear. But actually, that very quickly leads to what Moses did in the desert. He talked with God, and God said to him, pick up your staff and go to that rock there and speak to it, and water will come out. Now, just to set the scene, previously, Moses had been instructed by God on a previous occasion to go and tap a rock, and water came out of it. So Moses, quite understandably, goes along and sort of smacks this rock. And he got it wrong. He basically hadn't listened to what God had said, because God just told him to speak to the rock and water would come out. Now, the grace of God was that the water came out. God didn't turn around and sort of say, that's it, sort of, you're done, you're finished, you know, sort of, I'm not even providing water for the Israelites because you smacked that rock. No, actually, God's grace is that he provided water for the Israelites. But the consequence was that Moses actually was told, because you did that, you're not going to enter the land that I've promised. And so there was a consequence for not hearing, not pausing, or rather for charging in. There was a consequence to doing that. And what I'm trying to say is that the most important thing is that we spend time with God developing our relationship. So when I prepare, it's my opportunity to spend time with God, developing my relationship with him. And in that, I will hear from him what he wants me to say to you, what he's going to speak through me to you. And that's the important thing, is that we hear God. This slowing down is a physical thing. It's a physical discipline, but it enables that spiritual discipline, that spiritual maturity that will bring fruit in our lives spiritually. I think part of the challenge that the world has is that they don't understand the relationship between the physical and the spiritual. But we should. We should know that actually there's a purpose. There's an advantage to slowing down in the physical, because you rest and you recoup. But it leads to a spiritual time and blossoming. So we should be looking slow down physically, but with that, looking at God. I want to say as well, there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people who had to wait on God. Perhaps one of the people who had to wait the longest was Abram and Sarah, and they had to. 75, Abraham heard from God that he would be a father of many nations. Yeah? And you think, wow, fantastic, amazing. And then it takes 15 years. 15 years go by. 15 years go by. And then God says, I'm going to make you a father of nations. So you can imagine from Abram's point of view, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, right, okay, still on the road, right, okay, fine. 10 years later, Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. Abraham was 100 when they had Isaac. And that was just the beginning of the promise. It wasn't the promise in its entirety. In fact, Abraham didn't see the fullness of that promise. Yeah? He didn't see the many nations. He just saw the the one child, or the two, if you want to take his sort of trying to bring God's word about. But Isaac was the fulfillment of that promise, yeah? And so he had to wait 25 years for God's word to come to a point where he could actually physically see it. It's no wonder that in Hebrews 11 it talks about him being a man of faith, yeah? It kind of puts things into perspective when we're sat waiting, waiting for things to come. Joseph waited for nearly, well, for over 20 years for his dreams that he had to come true. And so much happened during that time. You know, he was thrown in jail. He sort of got thrown down a pit, first of all. All of these things that were opportunities to actually say, God, I just don't believe your word any longer. You promised that my brothers would be bowing down before me, but actually, I can't see that ever happening because I'm down the bottom of this hole, or I'm in jail, or, you know, there are lots of bad things that happen, but it doesn't stop God's word being true. Joseph holds on to God's word, and 20 plus years later, he sees the fulfillment of that promise. Yeah? Doesn't quite equate to 20 years, but Andrea and I had a challenging time just after we got married. We went to marriage prep courses, and they talked about, you know, sort of how do you handle money? What do you spend it as soon as it's come in? Do you put money aside to save? How do you deal with family? You know, sort of what's your family relationships like? How many kids are you expecting? You know, what do you want sort of from your sort of long-term goals? And so we answered many of these questions. In fact, we frustrated those who were leading us through the course because sort of we always seemed to agree on most things. But we wanted a couple of kids, and we wanted to basically start straight after we got married, trying for kids. And it just didn't happen. And it was nearly 3 years later that Isaac and Ethan came along. And there was a sense of that waiting. In fact, friends and family around us seemed to be having no problems getting kids. And it got to a point where they were struggling with sort of saying, yeah, we're pregnant. Yeah, we're having our child, sort of. And lots of people began to tiptoe around us because we were in that waiting process. But God was still faithful. It was only 2.5 years, 3 years, and then the promise was fulfilled. Now, that wasn't the end of the trouble, but we saw a fulfillment, but it required us to wait. One of the fascinating things from this verse, set of verses, was the disciples watched Jesus ascend up into the clouds. I can just imagine the scene in heaven, you know, God saying to a couple of guys, you know, sort of, will you just go down and prod those guys down there and sort of just give them a kick up the behind because they're stood looking needlessly into a bunch of clouds. And so off went these angels, and they appeared by the disciples. Don't wait just getting distracted looking into clouds, yeah? Waiting has a purpose to it. The disciples actually needed a kick, yeah? If you go back to Damien's word, some people need to step up, need to sort of move on. And this was a point when the disciples needed to actually stop looking into the sky and go into Jerusalem. It wasn't the fact that they weren't to wait, but it was how they were waiting. And we need to be clear that in our waiting, we're waiting on God. Matt brought a word last week, and he said, we're not waiting for God to turn up. We're waiting for God to change us. And that's a key part of it. It's a waiting on God. Matthew 26 talks about Jesus going and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the disciples fell asleep. And he comes back to them and says, couldn't you just wait with me? It's very easy to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray and wait on God, and then fall asleep or even struggle to get out of bed. But we need to be waiting in a right manner. We need to be focused on God. And yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's a challenge. But this is what God's calling us to. The other thing that comes clearly out of this passage is that the disciples waited together. Ben spoke last week about how mission is both vertical and horizontal, and how there is a sense of waiting on God in the personal life. But there's also a sense of let's wait together. Let's be part together. So the waiting isn't necessarily just on your own, but it's together. And the disciples chose to do the right thing. They chose to go and pray. This last Wednesday, the small groups met together and we prayed. And that's a key part of what God is calling us to do. Bill Hybels wrote a book that says, too busy not to pray. When we wait, our waiting is about praying. Yeah, it's about taking that time out to look to God and to hear him. We were hearing today about how God says, you know, you're precious, you're loved, yeah? We don't get to hear that if we haven't heard him, if we haven't come into his presence to hear what he's got to say to us. And it's such a blessing when God speaks to us. So prayer isn't this just speaking to God and casting all our cares on him. No, actually, prayer is about speaking yes to him, but then waiting for what he's got to say. And when we do it together, it adds that extra dynamic, because what Andrea hears from God, God wouldn't speak to me in that way. What Ben hears from God, God wouldn't speak to me that way. But actually, when I hear God speak through them, it impacts me and it makes my heart go, oh, yes. I'm loved. I'm treasured. I'm precious. God sings over me. Isn't that amazing? It is. I'm a Muppet. I'm an academic who can bury himself. I don't communicate very well. But for God to say, no, you're treasured. You're special. Yeah? Each one of us can take that, yeah? And please do. Please recognize that God sings over you. He loves you. You are precious. And you're here in this church for a reason. You're here. And when God calls or speaks to you, a part of that is to share with the church. To share how God's spoken to you, what God's spoken to you about. Yeah? And that can be a daunting thing. I know that. You think that I'm stood up here speaking to you, so I must have it all together. Actually, I was saying to my mum last night, I still get nervous beforehand. I still get nervous delivering what God has to say to you. But it's important that we do it because it just enables God to change us. Yeah? Not that we're waiting for God to turn up, but we're waiting for God to change us. Mission isn't done alone. Luke 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out, but he did that in pairs. So the disciples went out in pairs. And we need to know that we're not in it alone. There was a viral post that went around on Facebook a few years back about a string of wolves walking through this sort of icy tundra. And it talked about how the oldest wolves were at the front of the pack and they set the pace because if they didn't set the pace, everybody else would leave them behind. Yeah. And then the strongest wolves were next. And the leader was at the back of the pack. It's difficult going together. Yeah. We're all going to rub each other. Some of us want to go quickly. Some of us want to go slowly. Some of us want to lead. But in it all, we need to go together. We need to wait on God together. And it requires communication. You know, the lead wolf, for want of this analogy, and just to say, this analogy isn't true. It's not how a wolf pack actually operates, but it plays into what God is saying to us, that the lead wolf has to call from the back so that the old people at the front know which way to turn. The strong people in the middle of the pack have to be there holding the pack together, making sure everybody's all right, watching out for threats. Everybody has a purpose in it. There's another proverb that's classed as an African proverb, but it says, if you want to go fast, then go alone. If you want to go far, then go together. And I want to say, we're here to go far. We're just a small number of people at the moment, but that's not where we see ourselves. We're going to see Blackpool changed. And to see that, we are going to grow. But God's going to make us grow. All we have to do is just focus on living in God and speaking with Him, waiting on Him, doing what He tells us to do. We're in it for the long haul. We're not looking for quick growth. We're not looking for, you know, quick change of leadership. We're not looking for these things. I want to see 3 home groups. We're getting to a size where we can do 3 home groups. But there's just a pause at the moment of, no, we're going to stick with 2 home groups for the time being because we believe we've heard God on that. And, you know, Ben leads us well in that. There's just a call that says, no, this is the way, walk in it. Ephesians 5 brings about speaking to one another with psalms, with hymns and songs from the Spirit. If we wait on God, we hear all these things and we get this corporate togetherness. And it blesses God when we're together in unity. Just want to bring us back as well to the empowered by the Spirit. You see, that word empowered doesn't seem to quite fit with that armchair. But this is God's kingdom. Things don't necessarily make sense on the natural sort of side of things. But we need to understand that our purpose is not defined by us. We haven't got to sort of go and really get het up about, you know, sort of what we're to do. Yeah. Our purpose is defined by God. And it's important that we recognize that, because that then means that we're not in our purpose alone, that actually the Holy Spirit is there to ensure that our purpose takes us forward. God doesn't give us our life mapped out in detail. It would be fantastic if God turned around and said, yeah, you know, you'll get saved at age 11, you'll do this, you'll go to university, you'll be part of the CU leadership, you'll be then out and you'll go to London, and then you'll go to Manchester, and you'll meet this amazing woman, and you'll marry her, and you'll have two kids, and you know, God didn't say all of that right at the beginning. Why? Because I think a part of it is, one, we couldn't hold all of it, but two, actually, it's important that we keep coming back to God. God, that's amazing. What's the next step? Right, great. Okay, I can do that. One step, right. What's the next step? Where am I going? Oh, over here. Okay, fine. Yeah, we need to keep coming back to God, to His Holy Spirit, to hear what His Spirit is saying. Ephesians 5 again says, talking about being filled by the Spirit, and that word being filled is a continual thing. You know, we've heard this time and time again, but actually it's important that we're continually filled by the Holy Spirit. It's because we're leaky vessels. You know, we were designed to not hold everything that God gives us. You know, everything that God gives us isn't necessarily just for us, but there's an opportunity to give out and bless those around us. And I'm not just speaking about the church. You know, we've got over there, the church is blessing a charity that gives food and other items to people who are really in need. You know, people who are on the street, who don't have a place to stay. The charity is able to do that, but we're providing for them. Yeah? What God gives to us is that next step. God talks in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, pray for your daily bread. And it's not just that physical provision of the daily bread, yeah? But it's actually a provision of direction, yeah? And there's a parallel with that back when Moses was out walking in the desert with the Israelites, and God provides manna. But he says, don't hoard it all up. Don't hang on to it. Because next day it's going to stink and it's going to taste terrible. Needless to say, some Israelites didn't trust him. They went and hoarded it. They didn't do it after that, but sort of because they found that actually God's word is true. But there's that daily provision that we need to go back to God on a regular basis. Just want to finish by saying the other thing that God said to me is, waiting leads to something. Waiting leads to something. In this case, in Acts, it was an influx of people. And that's what my prayer is. If God is calling us to wait, and he certainly is, there's a purpose in that. And there's something that's going to happen after. And I want to challenge you to raise your hopes, raise your dreams. If God's telling us to wait, there's a purpose in it, yeah? And there's something coming. And if it's 3,000 being born again and people being daily added to their number, well, God's not going to give us any more than we will be able to deal with. But, you know, there is something coming because God has asked us to wait. And again, just to give you another example, Jesus in the desert, he went and sort of lived in the desert for 40 days, fasted there, and it was the start of his whole ministry. He waited on God for God to speak to him and lead him where he was going in the next 3 years of his life. Final thing, just want to say prophetically, there's a play on words here, which I believe God just dropped into my heart, that as you wait on God, cast your weight on God. It's not easy waiting. A lot of us are going through trials and challenges. Tell God about it. As you wait on him, tell God. He's big enough to deal with that. He's big enough to absorb it. And he's gracious enough to tell you how to deal with that and to provide for you. So as you wait on God, cast your weight on God. Have a great week. Be blessed and wait on God. Find time. It's that challenge to us to find time individually, but also to find time together. If you're not part of a small group, get along to a small group, because we don't believe that church is just meeting on a Sunday, but it's got a wider aspect to it. And there is this need to come together and just to wait on God. So,
thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.